Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Don't forget today's informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific opinion poll on our politics website, It's a Free Country. Today we're asking, what do you make of Keith Olbermann's departure and the future of the media landscape? It's good that cable TV will have one less hyperpolarized host. It's a shame. We need strong partisan voices. Or, I don't mind opinion, but I didn't like Olbermann. Register your vote at itsafreecountry.org. We'll make life more exciting by adding a game layer on top of the world. Find better ways for people to hang out and collaborate online. And finish the search for non-visual augmented reality and the evaporation of the interface. You understood that last one, right? Those are some of the agenda items at the upcoming South by Southwest Interactive Festival happening in March. You've probably heard of South by Southwest, the music, film, and interactive technology festival in Austin, Texas, that draws people on the leading edge in each field every year. The Interactive Festival is known to be an incubator and showcase for emerging technologies. They were ahead of the curve on Twitter and Foursquare, to name two. Sean O'Keefe, a festival producer, is here in our studio to talk about non-visual augmented reality and what else we might expect from interactive technology in the future. Hi, Sean. So great to have you on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
You want to just tell people unfamiliar what the mission of the South by Southwest Interactive Festival is?
Sure. No problem. Basically, you know, we are interested in finding folks who are doing really interesting things with technology and changing the world, hopefully for the better. And we love to give them a platform to talk and, you know, share what they're doing with the community at large.
So cyborg anthropologist Amber Case is presenting something called Non-Visual Augmented Reality and the Evaporation of the Interface. What in the world is that?
It's quite a few words, yes. Well, one of the interesting trends that we've seen, obviously, and I'm a designer at heart, so I find this, personally interesting, really deals with interface design and how we're all used to interacting with the world now through devices and computers. And one of the things that we're seeing is really the non-visual component of this. We have a couple sessions this year. Amber's leading one in particular dealing with this that I think is quite intriguing, you know, the idea of using audio to navigate the world. As well as a lot of other different interfaces, aside from just the visual components that we see every day.
To navigate the world. So this is something that would help blind people, or are you talking much more broadly than that?
Well, I think what's interesting is because a lot of people's assumption is that, yes, this is dealing with standards and helping those with different disabilities. But frankly, I think the way a lot of these technologies are being presented and what makes them really intriguing is it is in more of a broad context, the idea of playing a game where you're listening to signals. I think obviously we live in a world that is highly visual and, we're overstimulated all the time. And what are some other ways that we can get information communicated to us?
By the way, on Amber's title, what is a cyborg anthropologist anyway?
That's a good question. Well, her take on it is that, we're increasingly living in a world where, we're using these devices, these different objects are around us all the time, and that they are actually part of what makes us human. And we should really look at defining ourselves in a different way.
Listeners, you want to ask a question or two of Sean O'Keefe, anybody who's ever been to the Interactive Festival at South by Southwest or maybe involved with some related kind of research, what kind of interface would you like to see evaporate? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Also seems there's a lot of new technology coming that has to do with journalism and the news business. Jennifer Eight Lee, a journalist who's been on the show a lot, is going to be there with a talk about applying computer science to journalism and a talk called Hacking the News. The Guardian is going to be there talking about WikiLeaks, a session that we gather you haven't yet made public, but we've leaked it. What
exactly.
Kind of hacking are we talking about with respect to journalism? Is this an old technology being put to new uses, or is this actual new technology?
Well, I think, another trend that we see has a lot to do with data visualization as well as big data. And you're seeing a lot of folks in different industries learning how to take advantage of that. And we're seeing that with journalism as well, where you essentially are letting machines mine information for you, particularly with social media streams, live streaming, and basically being able to pull out what people are talking about before anybody else does and uncover the stories that people are talking about. So
there's a new book which I've been reading called News Games, Journalism at Play, by Ian Bogost, Simon Ferrari, and Bobby Schweitzer. And they make the distinction between news games, which is journalism in the form of games, which they strongly advocate, and the gamification of the news, which is just allocating points in a game structure to incentivize participation. Do you see that distinction in new gaming technologies?
Well, sure. And I think that's what makes right now such an exciting time. You know, you have a lot of different folks that are bringing different opinions to the table. There are obviously certain parts of the community and people that are much more comfortable with this gamification. That's how they kind of interact with the world around them. And other folks, you know, prefer much more of a traditional approach, you know, and there's obviously a lot of questions, things in particular with whether it's WikiLeaks or, you know, the group Hacks Hackers that Jennifer's involved in. You know, a lot of folks doing a lot of really intriguing things. But yeah, so I think that a lot of folks draw some important distinctions there that I think makes it really interesting.
Is there in general a trend toward the development of serious games? You told us about Seth Priebatsch, who you describe as the 21-year-old chief ninja at the Boston-based company Scavenger. He's trying to make life more exciting by adding a game layer on top of the world. So
sure.
Again, I ask, what does that mean?
Well, you know, there's a number of game dynamics that we have that, you know, he's trying to bring into the world. And basically what it comes down to is this. You know, many people have heard of Twitter. Many people have heard of Foursquare, and they're used to this kind of social layer, the social component. And really that's what technology does to all of us. It makes us more social and it makes us human. Well, you know, now we're at this kind of really critical point where what are we going to do with all this stuff? And what the impact of that social media is going to be. And I think that what Scavenger is doing is really interesting because, you know, we have this opportunity to bring these game dynamics into real life, like whether that's, you know, you stopping by a coffee shop, interacting with your friends. And so there's a lot more complexity being entered into the equation now. So it's not as simple as a lot of things you might have heard about, like, oh, I check in here at this particular location and get a free coupon for whatever. You know, we're talking about, you know, complex interactions with you and your social group and friends. And I think that that really is, in terms of mobile devices, really the next thing that is going to be really intriguing, particularly for folks that have grown up in the digital generation.
We're talking with Sean O'Keefe, festival producer for the South by Southwest Interactive Festival coming this March. And one of your keynote speakers is Christopher Poole, the founder of 4chan.
Yes.
And so maybe explain for a second what 4chan is and how Poole is pushing online collaboration, because obviously online communities and social networking have changed the way we interact with each other, as you were just getting at, and how we use technology. Why'd you pick Christopher Poole? What makes 4chan cutting edge in this respect?
Good question. 4chan is this quite controversial online community, in many cases mostly known for starting internet memes and a lot of, you know, crazy inappropriate content there. But what we were intrigued by was, you know, really here's a young man who has built this online community and is really moving against the grain compared to what others are doing. In an era where, whether it's Facebook or any other social media company, you know, has increasing challenges with identity online, things like that, 4chan was really moving in the opposite direction. And, you know, Christopher has a new project coming out called Canvas, which we don't know a lot about, but it's particularly interesting because I think what he's doing is taking just an approach that's really against the grain of what we see a lot of the other major players doing. And quite intriguing in that way because, you know, there's a theme that runs throughout the event, as you may have noticed there, whether it's net neutrality and, you know, obviously the feature of journalism and some other things, you know, of really, you know, the mission of the internet and what has evolved in terms of the ideals, you know, what are those, you know, and what are those questions? There's some really intriguing things to talk about there, and we think that Christopher Poole is a great focal point for that and what the internet could be and should be, at least in a lot of people's minds, in terms of what it is.
So what do you think? I mean, if you had to project what the big technology conversation will be about as it intersects with values and ethics and ideals, based on his talk or whatever else goes on at South by Southwest Interactive, what would you think people are really going to be talking about at sort of the highest concept level?
Oof, that's a big question. But sure, I think that from my perspective, you know, the general trend is new technologies come along and everybody's very fearful of them. Whether it's, you know, identity online, whether it's geolocation, people are going to know where I am at all times.
They're either fearful or they're gee whiz, suspension of disbelief.
Sure. But I think that, you know, in both those cases, you know, we're not always conscious of the impact that these technologies have on our lives all the time. You know, you may have heard of there was one group that was grabbing all the APIs of all this social media data and finding out who wasn't at home so you could, you know, burglarize their house. You know, there's a lot of things that are really challenging. But I think ultimately what happens as people are more familiar with these technologies and get more comfortable with them is we see some really amazing changes. And we do see that the ethics and values that everybody aspires to are actually reinforced by these new technologies. And it's not the big fearful, you know, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world kind of situation.
Let me throw in Mike in Tribeca for just a second here, who wants to mention something he's doing along these lines. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah. Hi, Brian. Me and Stephen Kinzer, who's the author of All the Shah's Men, have collaborated on a new product we're releasing for the iPad, and it's an interactive graphic novel which has a feature where you can explore the original leaked CIA documents that are the supporting evidence for the CIA and BP's coup of the Iranian democracy in 1953. So we're using interactivity in a way that lets people, as they explore the graphic novel, in effect, their security clearance is upped, and they get to open more and more documents and learn more from the original sources.
So I think that's really fascinating. So as we were talking earlier about the idea of news games to get people more engaged in the news through, you know, engaging game structures, this is kind of a history game.
Well, that's right. It's sort of a game and it's sort of a comic book. It uses some game strategies where you're allowed achievements. You know, as you invest in the story, you read the story like a comic book, you know, mm-hmm. And it's cinematic and iPad-y. But the feature that I like a lot is that we get to, as you proceed in it, you're allowed to unlock more and more information.
Right. That is really interesting. We'll look for it. What's it going to be called?
Operation Ajax from Cognito Comics.
Say it again.
Operation Ajax from Cognito Comics.
Mike, thank you very much. And Sean O'Keefe from South by Southwest Interactive. It's in Austin, March 11th through 15th. How do people register? We have 10 seconds.
They can jump online at sxsw.com and register for the festival, find out all kinds of information there.
SXSW, SouthbySouthwest.com. Sean O'Keefe, festival producer for the interactive arm of SXSW. Thank you so much. It's been great.
Thank you, Brian.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and Paige Cowett produced this program with Alan Smith and Alana Casanova-Burgess. We had intern help today from Alec Hamilton and Kristen Clark. It's a freecountry.org editor, Anna Sale. Our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Talk to you tomorrow with Mark Udall and more. I'm Brian Lehrer.